All right, let me just confirm. Jed, are you with us?
I am. I made it back.
You're like the astronauts in the space station. So welcome to each of you and all of you from around the world. We're delighted to be here together. This is the Media Bids Power Hour, an educational opportunity for those of you who are media ad sales, for those of you who are selling space, whether that be digital space, in your e-newsletter, your website, and or in print, you're in the right spot. And whether your circulation is free or paid or controlled, you're still in the right spot. Jed and myself have lots to share with you. As we're getting settled in, we're always going to encourage you, close your office door. Let's see, if you're working remote, hopefully you can find a quiet spot, literally to either print off or put on your screen the three key points we're going to be covering. The very best in adult learning education says the more notes you make, the more notes you take, the more that you will get from the educational teleseminar we're going to be covering. We have hosted these over the last 25 years with media teams in 14 time zones around the world. With me is Jed, the CEO and president of Media Bids. We've been hosting and doing these together, Jed, for many, many months, many, many years. It's always a pleasure. How about some opening words? Talk to us about Media Bids. Tell us what is cooking, and then I know we have lots we're going to be covering in the middle portion of our hour here together. So give us an introduction about you, your team, and what's rocking with Media Bids.
Sure. Well, thank you, Ernest. I always learn a lot from Ernest from these teleseminars, and you know, in strange circumstances like we're all going through right now, I think that there's a lot to learn from sort of sharing ideas with each other and understanding what's working for some people and not working for others. So we appreciate all the great questions and we appreciate all the time and effort that Ernest puts into getting these teleseminars together and really bringing the vast majority of the knowledge to these calls. So my name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of Media Bids. We are a company that works with primarily national advertisers and with newspapers and magazines all around the country and in Canada, and we are devoted to just one thing, generating revenue for newspapers and magazines. We feel like the challenges that have arisen through the coronavirus crisis have really sort of highlighted the importance of what we do, and we have some, you know, some great information to share. I mean, I think it's been a challenging time for local media all over the world, really. But at the same time, there's really no more important time for local media to be doing what they're doing. So to the extent that we can help by helping to generate revenue, we are thrilled to do it. So we'd love to talk to you. If you're not currently using Media Bids, please feel free to give us a call. Check out our website. If you are using us, thank you. Also feel free to call. Also feel free to reach out and talk to us about, you know, what you're doing and what's working and what isn't. So, again, thank you all for joining us, and I'll turn it back over to Ernest.
Beautiful, Jed, and what a pleasure working with you and your team at Media Bids. For those of you that already work with Media Bids, then you know the value of what they bring, and if you haven't, we encourage you to take a look at mediabids.com, reach out to Jed and their team, and learn more. They completely understand the world of driving revenue for magazines, newspapers, publications on one side, and the other side, they positively understand our media space, and you're going to hear more about that during the course of today's teleseminar. By way of brief introduction, my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I began very simply in the advertising sales industry back in the 80s, 1986, launched three of my own publications, and then was a leader in a billion-dollar media group. We launched Power Hour in 1995, 25 years ago, and what an incredible journey it's been, working with thousands and thousands of media ad sales teams and professionals and leaders and business owners in 14 time zones around the world. We love the work that we do together. We give you a competitive advantage, and we never, ever work with the competing companies in your space. Whenever Jed and myself come together, we have three specific goals. Number one, we want to share new ideas, which we hope to be doing here today. Number two, we want to confirm that if you hear something that we share that you're already doing, we send you a what? Virtual high five that simply says, hey, that is very simply what is the best practice in the media space. And then the third goal is just the serendipitous. We might be talking about pineapples and you think apples, and you make that note. We love that. We call it the serendipitous, that just whenever you're working not in your business but working on your business here together with us, it gives you that opportunity to take a breath and think about your media sales success in a 360-degree perspective. We have three key points we're going to be talking about. This particular teleseminar, COVID-19 Phase 2, tied to your ad sales shift. And you might pause and say, well, where's part 1? Or, what happens after 2? It's part 3. Like, you know, what's moving around? And let's just pause and sort of recognize that over the last 2 and 3 months, no matter where you are around the world, the impact of what first began as a virus rolled into a pandemic, rolled into an unprecedented what? Shelter in place. We could never have imagined the impact on that. How many of you have never worked remote? How many of you have spouses that now both of you are working remote? How many of you have children that you're juggling in an education, educating children remote and online, right? I mean, there's been so many shifts over the last 2 and 3 months, and that really sort of brings us to where we are, because so much of what happened around that, we consider phase one. Phase one was the suddenness of it, the surprise of it, the unanticipation, the unprecedented place we're all in, the very sadness, and our, of course, prayers go out to those. So many that have been lost around the world and their families and those that they love, and we know that that has also been a very difficult time. And then, of course, we have the what? The medical professionals, right? The nurses, the doctors, the hospitals, the FEMA, so many people that have helped to sort of get us back on track from a health perspective. And that really, in a capsule, is where we've been under the umbrella of phase one. Phase three, skipping to the future, might be considered where we were just a few months ago, with pretty roaring economy, stock market, biz clicking along. Again, globally, very, very positive. That was business where we were, business as usual, phase three. We're not here to talk about phase three because we're not there. And the forecast and the projections of how long it'll take to get there is, quite honestly, unknown. We would not be even begin to have a sense of where that is and when that is. Here's what we do know. Phase two is where we are. Phase two is the reality, the new reality, the new norm. We don't know how long we're going to be here. We realize that depending on where you are in your market, in your city, in the advertisers you're selling to, you may be in a different space than others. And we note and observe that. We notice that some markets and some of our advertising sales teams are back out like they've always been. They're in their cars. They're in person meetings. They're out entertaining. They're doing all of those things. And then we realize we have others of you that there's literally nothing open. You're still sheltered or very tightly in that not red range, but have just barely moved into the orange, not even to the yellow or to the green ranges. So we're putting that in perspective. This is where we are at this point, and then there's probably one more part, at least for those of you in the United States, what will happen next come this summer related to care or stimulus packages. We don't know. Those are the things that are on the table. We know the unemployment has an end date as well upcoming, and so we're factoring all of those things. This is as much as we know given where we are, which causes us to shift. And the shift relates to a couple of things. In point number one, sort of this shift of listening to the whisper. And you're going to hear in the middle part of our teleseminar, Jed and myself giving specific examples about this. But listen to the whisper is a term that we have been sharing with our clients over the last number of months, saying listen for the smallest clue. Listen for the smallest green shoot. Listen for the smallest element of activity that is positive coming from advertisers. It might lead us to the next, to the next, to the next. And we've been using the term listen to the whisper. We'll talk more about that in example in point number two and give you specific examples. Number two, related to listen to the whisper, is follow the veins of gold. Because once we hear the whisper of where media is starting to tick up, where ad buys are beginning to happen, then the piece is called then follow the vein of gold. Go deep. Okay, go deep and own that particular category or space or situation, and that's another part of what we'll be sharing in part two of our teleseminar. We also want to at least say the words about everything we do and everything that's in our publication, our newsletters, on our website is tone appropriate for all that is moving around. Tone appropriate just simply means let's be aware of what are the best practices, what are others sharing, what is happening in our space and sector, so that ads that are being placed are tone appropriate. For example, one of those would be if you were selling an ad to a restaurant, how are you addressing at this moment the post-COVID-19 or the continued COVID-19 and now the post-importance and focus on what? Cleaning, cleanliness, disinfecting. Topics like, Jed, honestly, I've been around the media space for 30-plus years. I've never had these kind of conversations, but now it is everywhere. It's pervasive. So that if I go to the website for the restaurant I might go out tonight and I see the first thing they talk about is how we take care of you and keep you healthy and how we ensure that, I technically want to see that. I obviously want to see that because that may be a decision or not. For those of you in areas where this is not as prevalent and things are more open, then you have got to make the shift on the other side that says, hey, those things that we put in ads prior, maybe it's appropriate now to remove those. And again, we leave that to you and your good judgment from that perspective. Let's talk about social media, again, in this phase two era. We're going to encourage you to watch and learn more than ever. I always like to say the words, be green and growing, never red and ripe. And here's what it simply means. The amount of educational webinars, the number of Zoom calls, the amount of participation I've done, Jed, over the last 2 and 3 months, everything from what's happening in my local community, local governments, you know, what are they putting out, in some cases once or twice a week, even in little bitty Park City with 20,000 people at least twice a week, the city council comes on, the director of the health department comes on, business development comes in, we've got Mitt Romney showing up on tomorrow's Zoom call, just again in little bitty Park City. I've been on health. I've participated, Jed, in educational webinars related to healthcare, related to HR and legal and litigious side. Obviously, media as well, sort of scouring and looking at and scanning everything that's moving around me in that sort of 360 view. Simply why? Because I want to be able to see what's happening in my space. I want to be current and relevant. But I also want that to be a part of how I want to be valuable to my advertiser. So if I have a business journal, if I have a city magazine, if I have a local newspaper, any of those examples, I want to know everything that's moving on that in that space. Broaden that out. If I sell regional or global across the category and localism is valuable, then I'm going to follow all the educational information that is in my particular space. So, for example, if you were selling ads, you know, into the multifamily apartment space, a category that I know very well, you might also be looking at hospitality. You might be wondering about travel. You might be thinking about relocation. So we want to encourage you to not just funnel in. If you're selling ads to chiropractors, well, then go broader and look at healthcare. Go broader and look at medical doctors. In other words, broaden it out a little bit because you may or may not be getting everything you need just within the particular sector, like, for example, auto dealers or RVs or chiropractors, whatever that might be. So we just encourage you from that perspective. Another point in this phase two, and that is help advertisers with the wins. Share those good stories of the green shoots that you're seeing and good positive examples. And just as a little side note, you know, tied to this, Jed, one of the things that we observed when things were being shut down, take, for example, a category of home improvement. Well, those who sold pavers or landscaping or pools on the outside of people's homes, homeowners during the downturn were saying, look, if I'm home and I'm not traveling, guess what? I'm going to go work on some of those outside projects. But then we bounce in and we, yeah, but what about the company that we're trying to sell an ad to that does, you know, cabinet remodeling? How do they do it? And a little teeny story was, well, listen, via FaceTime, we'll connect with you, the homeowner. We don't have to come to your home. We'll show you the measurements we need in order to do that, which is what we would have done if we came to your home. We'll do that via FaceTime. We'll come to our website and have you select the materials and what it is you want. We'll send those to you so you can confirm that's what you want, and then we'll agree to agree, and then we'll come actually in and do the work, and we'll get everything set up. That's an example of a very, very creative approach. So if you're working with other advertisers, other home improvement inside advertisers that work inside a home, you might share those kinds of stories. Very powerful, very compelling, even if an advertiser doesn't want to do that or isn't comfortable with doing that, at least you show them the way, and at least you show them an example of that, okay? And again, realizing that there are those of you that are in areas that you're not having any of these issues, great, then you could sell ads to those companies that do cabinet remodeling, and they could just move forward business as usual, okay? Just another piece related to this, and tying back in the social media, you know, also the things that you're posting and watching and learning from what's happening within your advertising space, giving back, getting involved in the community, nonprofits, your professional organizations. There's a heightened level of kindness. There's a heightened level of community. There's a heightened level of giving and community-ness. And so in whatever shape or form that takes, we encourage you and your advertising team to be visible and be posting related to that, okay? So those are just the broadest strokes of what we've been watching over the last couple of months. And frankly, we've been doing even more work that, in other words, ad sales teams that we might have been working with every other week, we're now working weekly. Those that we've been working weekly, in some cases, we're working twice a week. So there's even a higher level of focus on looking for those whispers, deploying our strategies quickly, shifting rapidly. Here's what we do know. This capsule of sort of where we've been in phase one and where we're going into phase two, these are the things that we know, and the things you're going to be hearing from Jed and myself in part two of this teleseminar, is where we are at this moment. Consider it a comma in the sentence. And what we've been tracking and watching and helping our media sales teams do and deploy over the last 5 and 10 and 15 weeks has been as adjusting as rapidly as we can to the new world and to the new order where we're in. But I can promise you, over the next 5 and 10 and 15 weeks going forward, it's going to rapidly shift again on the other side. And we are morphing, and our guidance and our approach to media, to ad sales, and ad sales teams is morphing just as rapidly in this phase two. We don't know how long we're going to be here. We know that we will positively succeed, but we just simply don't know what's coming next, given the state of all that's moving around. Jed, before we move into this second part, any comments or observations about phase two and some of the shifts that we've made tied to ad sales?
You know, I think the only thing I would add is just sort of in terms of, you know, the specifics of publications themselves. You know, when we were in phase one, right? You know, the initial response by a lot of publications, especially the larger chains, were to implement dramatic cutbacks, right? And so we saw some just terrible stories, right? In terms of, you know, the numbers of people involved in publications and local media in general, just being either furloughed or laid off or they had their hours reduced. I mean, there was, you know, the workforce in general was dramatically impacted in that phase one. And then as phase two sort of came around, I think, and obviously I don't want to minimize sort of the pain that's still going on for many publications, because I think it's still there because of sort of the absence of sort of the conventional advertising revenue model for many publications. But I mean, one of the things which I think has been really, really exciting and encouraging through all of this terrible news that we've been getting for the past, you know, 3 months about, you know, deaths and disease and, you know, and even now, you know, moving into, you know, some of the protests and, you know, some of the issues going on around that is that there has been no time, at least that I can recall within, you know, my lifetime, where local media has ever been as relevant and as important as it is right now. And I think that I think that more and more people, maybe it's because they're sitting at home more often, maybe it's because they need information on what's going on in their community and what's going on, you know, right around them. But I think that there's been no time that I can recall where people are as engaged and willing to just be involved in, and whether that means a subscription, whether that means going to the website, whether that means, you know, following, you know, local reporters on Twitter, whatever it may be, people are extremely engaged in local media. So the things that we are all sort of doing, right, the things that we're hoping to promote, which is centered around this sort of, you know, this local news information service, every publication has a different slant and a different focus, and some are niche publications and some are monthly, but they're all for the most part developing local content, which I think consumers want more than ever. And I think if there's any silver lining that comes out of this, right, it's that consumers have seen how important that really is. It can't be replaced by a post on Facebook, and it can't be minimized. So I think that that's become more clear. Publications I talk to all tell me the same thing. Their website visits are way, way up. Their subscriptions are way, way up. And their advertising revenue is down, which is not a great combination, but it's also there's a nice story in there, right? Consumers are speaking, and consumers, I think, have turned to the news source that they trust the most, which is in most cases local media.
You bet. And one more piece. We'll address this as well in the back end of our teleseminar, but even the human piece, Jed, even you and I in our conversations over the last couple of months have begun with what? Hey, how are you? Hey, how's your family? Hey, is your team okay? Everybody healthy? How's everybody doing? All right, let's get going. Even us, right? We open up calls and conversations that is something we've ever opened up a conversation with. But again, back to tone appropriate. We'll talk a little bit more about that on the back end of our teleseminar to really be even closer to, even on a more personal level, our advertisers and those that we're working with, even prospective advertisers. All right. So, point number two for today's teleseminar, we said that we're going to talk about the categories of ad sales that are doing best, right? And I focus on these strategies. Remember, this ties to Veins of Gold. Remember, this ties to Listen to the Whisper. Each of you have those, but sometimes it can be just a single blade that you're looking for that you go, wait a minute, there's something there. And that single blade can be just what we're looking for. So, Jed, via your keyboard, where you're seeing ads being placed, where you're seeing this incredible shift in light of all that has happened tied to COVID-19, Lord knows, I truly believe that you sit behind the most unique data, stats, and keyboard of anybody in our media space. You really have media on the right and results on the left. So let's talk about those things. And to each of you and all of you, lean in, make notes, and then think about how this relates to you and your world. Jed? The floor is yours.
Sure. So just to sort of set the stage a little bit, and a lot of people on the call have heard me say this before, but I'm going to just really quickly go over it. One of the reasons why we have data about our response to ads is we do tracking. So what we do is we put unique phone numbers or URLs, in some cases text response messages, in actual print ads. So every ad that we send out, we're sending out a unique phone number. Prior to the coronavirus sort of issue, going back to the old days of like February, we had about 15,000 placements a week, so roughly 60,000 placements a month. In the time since then, we have that has absolutely ballooned, and I will go into some of the numbers, but we're tracking, you know, tens of thousands of ads to determine exactly who's responding to it. And, you know, just a quick sort of public service announcement, you know, as you're perhaps getting started with new advertisers, as you're sort of resetting with advertisers that maybe had stopped as a result of this, now is a great time to sort of revisit the idea, if you've ever thought about doing it, of placing a unique phone number into an ad to be able to show your advertisers exactly what your publication is generating for them. We see time and time again, publications just do not take this extra step of doing their own tracking, and it is an enormously valuable tool that can really change the way that you interact with advertisers and prove to them definitively that what your publication is doing is well worth the cost that you're charging. Okay, so that's the precursor. Mm-hmm. We track ads. What happened for us is that in March, as sort of the full extent of the disease was sort of, you know, coming into focus, schools were being canceled. You know, as I mentioned before, there were a lot of layoffs at publications. We saw consumer demand plummet, and so March is usually historically a strong month for us. March was actually down for all of our publications, down by about 6% underneath April, beneath April. So we were all thinking, you know, this is a bad sign. This is bad and getting worse, right? Because in what should have been a strong month, we saw a decline. But then in April, things really dramatically turned around. We started to see incredible volume of consumer response in specific categories. So, and the two specific categories which we've found that are the most that have generated the most response has been food-related items, not surprisingly, mail order food-related items, and home services. Specifically, home services that do not require someone to come into the home. Now, I do think that's changing a little bit now. I think people are becoming a little more comfortable, especially in many parts of the country, with someone, socially distancing, but also being in their home. So we're starting to see some rebound, in those types of services. But to try to make some logic out of it, because that's what we do, right? When we're thinking about marketing, is sort of try to draw these broad generalizations and attach some logic to trends that we see. It appeared as though people were home. People, you know, were looking around their house saying, you know, boy, I've been meaning to do that for years. I've been meaning to have that done for years. And they finally sort of, you know, had the time and the bandwidth and perhaps even the sort of income that saved from, you know, not going on vacation or out to dinner three times a week or whatever it may be, to sort of get those things done. So for us, categories like roofing, garage door replacement, we have probably our most successful campaign in the history, in our 21-year history, has been, over the past 2 months, has been a leaf guard, it's called leaf filter, but it's a gutter guard system for stopping leaves from, you know, dropping into your gutters. So that's been phenomenally successful. Windows, painting, lawn care, pest control, tree maintenance, fencing. Ernest mentioned it before, but it's a huge category that's just exploded. Has been pool services, both getting new pools and just having pools refurbished and taken care of. So through all of this, we saw a we saw a 44% increase in revenue for publications in April. And then, and so that's coming off of a down March. And then from April to May, there was another 52% increase. And again, the number of phone calls has roughly fallen along those percentages as well. So, you know, we can really see that, that there is consumer demand in specific verticals, you know, food and home services, and there doesn't seem to be, despite the fact that, you know, there's whatever it may be, 35% unemployment, that consumer demand still appears very, very strong in these categories. Stronger than we've ever seen it. it's pretty amazing. And so, these increases have been, hopefully have been great for the publications that participate with us, because the average revenue increase for publications in May, for example, over April was 86%. And that's something we're really, really happy about, that in the midst of what are extremely trying times, we're able to have campaigns that are generating more revenue for publications than really ever before. These are numbers that are unprecedented for us. It's a great. We're extremely pleased about that, because, you know, I think there are many publications that sort of need it now more than ever.
Mm-hmm. And as you're listening to Jed as he's talking about home services, we've been making this observation. It's one of those areas, because suddenly, what, people are home, I'm no longer traveling, gee, I should probably go think about that pool or those pavers or that landscaping or that patio furniture, whatever it might be. And Jed has shared those examples. Just pivoting for just one moment, just overall from a marketing perspective, depending on the category, let's say categories like senior housing, let's say categories like multifamily apartment rentals, let's take categories like realtors, home builders. So much of what we've seen shift there is what we consider drive audience, what we consider hyper-local. If you can drive there, people are more apt to, for example, narrow their move down if it's drivable rather than flying. So we've taken a lot of the strategies to a hyper-local perspective. But again, it goes back to listen for the whisper of what those leads and opportunities are telling you. Does that mean, for example, we have average publications that on the East Coast have historically looked for biz and travelers coming in from the UK or coming in from Europe. We have publications that are in Canada, for example, in Montreal, where they count on the French and international travel. That's not happening. So everything that we've shifted that we were doing with advertisers and readers drawing from France, for example, or drawing from Paris, suddenly is windowed down more tightly to focus on what's happening in Montreal. Hyper-local, Jed, is another one of these coaching principles and terms that we've introduced over the last, 2 and 3 months, similar to Listen to the Whisper, that we've really made these shifts to say, where are those opportunities, make it tone appropriate, advertisers that will gain and get value, and obviously the ability to track it and the ROI and other things along those lines. Jed, other observations related to other categories. We've talked about home services. We've talked about, food-related. Any other comments about other kinds of categories that you've seen?
So there's we work with a lot of advertisers who have products or services that are pretty poorly positioned for what's going on in the world right now. For example, A Place for Mom, which is a senior, they help people find senior living facilities, and it's just, you couldn't pick sort of a worse vertical right now to try to advertise, in the sense that, you know, most of those places are on lockdown, so you can't really go see them. Most of them, most seniors are rightfully so, scared to death of leaving you know, leaving their shelter or you know, wherever they're staying. And so, you know, so there's been an extended sort of video, you know, kind of video browsing. I think, you know, we've also seen this with companies like Renewal by Andersen, which is a window replacement company. You know, there's definitely some value in that it gives you the opportunity to engage with customers who otherwise would really just put that whole category on pause. You know, you mentioned earlier, you know, a cabinet company that's able to do, you know, make suggestions and give a quote, right, based on, you know, sort of a video conference. I mean, I think those types of efforts have been, you know, I can't say that they've been, I have any examples of them being extremely successful, but I also think that what it does is it sort of keeps those companies going, right? It keeps them in the game. They have new leads to work with. They have new customers to work with. And it will probably pay off in the long run. It may not be this month or next month, but it might be, you know, end of the summer. By the time people are feeling more comfortable, they'll have sort of a pipeline built up that they can really access. Another thing that we're sort of running into, and it makes some sense, and this is sort of around the travel industry, and I think it probably applies to local hotels and, you know, local banquet centers, and I think there's a lot of local application to this sort of approach, and that is, you know, we'll call it the vaccine approach, where people are saying, okay, everything's messed up now, right? We don't expect you to plan your dream vacation right now, but we're going to give you a discount to plan it in 2021. And, you know, and if the coronavirus is still a pressing issue and it's still impacting society, we'll give you your money back. But in the meantime, we're going to give you a discount to make plans now further in advance than you normally would. You know, that type of approach seems to generate a lot of response, because I think people like the idea of, okay, and I'm not saying this is true, I'm just sort of using it as an example, but, you know, people saying, all right, this summer's shot for travel, right? I'm not going to be able to take that dream vacation that I was hoping to take this August, but I'm going to start planning for next August, right? Next August is when it's got to be safe by then. I'm willing to put down some money now to lock in this good price to be able to travel the way I want to a year from now.
Yeah.
You know, that's been something we've seen a lot of advertising around.
And Jed, even to that point, even as of this morning, as you know, Power Hour is based in Park City. We have three wonderful ski resorts, and Vail and Deer Valley are here. And frankly, what they're all rolling out is sort of assurance protection that you can buy your ski pass later in the year. Now you can divvy it up into smaller payments. They're giving credit from this past year because a fourth of the year was cut off. But the biggest piece, just to your point, and the assurance that if the season doesn't launch, no questions asked, you're fully refunded, which is very similar to what Airbnb did, right, in the last 2 months. If you have a reservation, no questions asked, cancellation is done, no fees, no penalties, and so forth. So that is one of those parts. I wanted to go back for 1 second when you were talking about senior housing, senior facilities, even apartment communities, realtors as well. There has been a lot more of what? Video tours, virtual touring. There's been a real shift down that side, which has allowed those to tour a home or a rental apartment or a senior facility. So if you pause and say, so let's see, on one level, Ernest and Jed, I could make certain that goes in the ads that I'm placing, yes. And on the other side, depending on where you are around the world, you may do what? Build a Smart Match Alliance partnership with a video group that might provide that for a fee to your advertisers, and you would share in that revenue success, hence Smart Match Alliances. Sometimes things that happen in our world, in this case in a very compressed way, I've been seeing some articles, Jed, that there are things that this coronavirus has sort of forced us forward maybe 5 or 10 years towards where things were going, but it's further accelerated it. And we're going to see more and more of that. And you think about the shifts about retailing and the way we order online and the safety and the protection, and all of these pieces are shifting our world. And I don't think we know as a civilization how big the impact. I think that we're going to look back and call it sort of BC, the world of before Corona, and the world after. And I think all of us just need to, sort of just continue to watch 360 degrees. How does this feel and work for me on a personal level, on a professional level, and, of course, in the way that we work on the media ad sales side? Okay? Jed,
one of the
anything?
Things that, you know,
yeah,
just real quickly, I mean, sort of, you know, we've been talking about sort of some of the things that advertisers have done, to try to combat this. I mean, there are some pretty innovative things that we've been seeing publications do, and one of the biggest that I think is really interesting, I'm curious to see what you think about it, Ernest, is that we're seeing a lot of publications sort of try the tactic of putting in essentially what amounts to free advertising right now for businesses that are most impacted by coronavirus. Let's say local restaurants, for example, who are just doing takeout. You know, they're putting in free ads now in exchange for a longer-term contract. So the publication is sort of making a bet with the business that, hey, look, it might take 3 months, right? We might have to give you 2 months of free ads, but in exchange, we're going to get a year-long contract out of you and an awful lot of goodwill, because when you needed it most, right, when you needed the exposure and you needed to alert your customers about what's going on the most, we were there for you. And, you know, and in exchange, when things clear up, right, that long-term contract kicks in. And, you know, I'd like to believe that that's going to, that those businesses are going to, you know, going to honor that and what those publications are going to get is a loyal, sort of appreciative, long-term customer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And those are the kinds of things. And maybe that's a little bit of a segue into our third point, Jed, and then we're going to roll through. We got pages and pages of questions, and let's see if we can do some laser or spot coaching related to those. But those are some of the things that not only are we moving to a bit more and hopefully continued more kindness and more care and just more understanding and a deeper connection amongst, you know, our family, our neighbors, and those that we're navigating, but to stay close with advertisers, you know, to ask them how they're doing, to really have an empathy, right, for what's moving around and being able to connect with them. And that may include, to your point, you know, what we might do related to renewals or additional extension or the gifting of better position or some additional ad exposure. If you have the space, we're seeing so much more media working in general, listening to the whisper of advertisers and working with them from that perspective. So certainly that's something that we're going to watch and see. And then, of course, let's not skip over the obvious. We are in the summer season. For some categories, this is a really big deal. For example, for those of you that work with advertisers or have media exposure to what beaches, vacations, Jed, you mentioned flights, hotels, entertainment. How about Las Vegas? How about the state of what's happening in Orlando, the entertainment space, traveling to cities? How about to our lakes or to our mountains, right? You know, all of those things are in play come this summer. Jed, we've talked about over the years, kids and summer camps, kids and sports camps, right? All of those things are a question mark. Here we are, you know, early June. We're pausing, we're reflecting, we're thinking about that and what that means from that perspective. And what you might pause and say is, wow, you know, in prior years, yes, we have media team that works along the beaches on the East Coast or the West Coast of the United States, for example, or in Canada or wherever you are around the world. And frankly, instead of having 70% of the visitors from outside the area, you know, 70% became those that are within a drive distance, you know, 2 to 3 or 4 hours. Jed, we've made some observations. I have two of my three children here, and they're literally laying out the map. Every weekend or every other weekend between now and the end of the summer, where are we going? We want to go to Yellowstone. We want to go to Glacier National Park. We want to go to Zions. You know, but then all of a sudden we have to back in, right, and go, hey, there's not even any lodging. That stuff that in August has already been sold out. Once again, that drive exposure, so that if you are an advertiser near the Zions area, you might do more marketing within Utah or Nevada rather than picking up national or international visitors. And those are the kinds of what we're calling more hyperlocal, more nearby, but you have to listen to the whisper of what that means, and then you've got to target your media and your sales approach from that perspective, okay? So let's see, Jed, we have a truckload of questions. Let's see if we can sort of float our way in and out of these. And so what we did is we took all of the questions that came in prior to our teleseminar, and we're going to just kind of roll our way through and do some spot coaching and give you some feedback. And if you'd like more of this, or if we don't get to yours and you have a follow-up question, please let us know. There were so many that rolled in from that perspective. So let's see. Carol in Alabama asks, what are the best techniques to discover the ad decision maker ad decision maker? Frankly, the world of LinkedIn is a go-to source with 700 million people. You should be able to find things really quickly. The world of LinkedIn is a gold mine, and we would just point you there. Among other sources and resources, it's the easiest, and everything is centralized there from that perspective. Jed, maybe the next one. Cynthia in Ohio asks, how are you convincing folks that are afraid to spend money to spend it on advertising? Would you talk to Cynthia for a moment in Ohio?
Sure, I know Cynthia.
perfect.
The way that I think about advertising, which, you know, I'm the first to admit is not the only way to think about advertising, but this is how I think about it. I think about it in terms of data, and I think about it in terms of numbers. And so how do you convince someone who doesn't want to spend money to spend money on advertising? By proving to them that it's going to make them money. Because really, when someone is telling you that they don't want to advertise, what they're telling you is, I don't think that if I give you money, I'm going to get more back, right? And what advertising is a magnifier, right? Advertising should be a multiplier. It should be, you give me money, I'm going to give you more back. You might have to wait longer. You might have to work hard to get it, but I'm going to give you the opportunity to make more money than you spend with me. So when I hear someone say, I don't want to spend money because I don't think I'm going to, because I don't have money to spend right now on advertising, I think what that really means is, they have no confidence. So then the question becomes, how can you give them confidence? And it kind of goes back to what I talked about, you know, briefly earlier, and that is, you need to prove it to them. You need to show them that they can make money. How do you do that? By showing them the types of response that other ads get. And it doesn't have to be super scientific, and it doesn't have to be, an exact match to what they're doing. But if you can show an advertiser, hey, listen, we have a similar advertiser who is going after a similar audience. To use an example, if their sort of target audience are seniors, maybe you have another advertiser that you tracked an ad on, and they also were targeting seniors in their ad. You know, if you say to them, listen, we can generate for you, you know, I believe we can generate, you know, 35 phone calls, right? If we can't generate 35 phone calls for you this week, then we're not doing our job. We need to change the ad. So if they're and if they're and if you're able to generate 35 phone calls, then the conversation essentially goes, how many sales can you make out of those 35 phone calls? And most people will tell you that they can make a sale out of something around half of the people who call, right? So let's say they even get 15 sales out of the 35 phone calls. How much does their product cost? What's their margin like on that? You know, if they're able to make, you know, if they're selling bouquets of flowers, that may not be enough, right? Because their margin might only be $3 per bouquet, right? But if they're selling pools, you know, and so and you got a guy, you got 15 phone calls for, you know, 15 people who said, I want a new pool for someone who's selling pools, I mean, that guy should be buying, you know, 4 full page ads, right? I mean, it's so if you can show them that the money that they're spending on advertising is going to equate to more revenue, then you're not going to hear no. You know, there's no logical reason for an advertiser to say no if you're able to show them that they're gonna make money, or they have a statistically good chance of making money.
You bet. So, Cynthia, we hope that's helpful for you, but for all of you, these are questions that are sort of just beacons of areas of focus. So while we're addressing Carol or Cynthia and others as we roll along, these are questions that we see as universal and ongoing questions. So thank you. Corey asks about which home service categories do you see performing well. Corey, we've been covering that. We hope that was helpful. Janet in Georgia asks, do you think that businesses will advertise who survive COVID-19 more than others that don't, and is print a solid option with many readers still at home? Jed, I know you again have unbelievable data of print versus the digital side, and the numbers bear that out. Janet, we have seen a reoccurring theme that the smartest marketing groups at agencies and companies throughout the world realize not only the value, but come to Jed and MediaBids and can see the difference in the performance. So, Jed, a little capsule on that one for Janet?
Sure. So print performs better than almost any other medium, in the sense that the people who call are considered purchasers. They tend to be ready to buy. They tend to understand the product that they're calling about. And so the close rate for print is oftentimes as high as 40%. So, you know, and in some categories it can be even higher. You know, for example, you know, I mentioned the food category. In the food category, the conversion rate is much higher. It's as high as 60 or 70% on some days. So what that means is people understand what they're buying, as opposed to many online forms of advertising, even radio and television, which is a less considered response. It tends to be more knee-jerk. People are calling and then asking questions, right? So that's the advantage that print has. The disadvantage that print has is that it doesn't generate the sort of massive amounts of unqualified response that many other mediums do. And so the challenge for you as someone who's talking to advertisers who are used to using some of these other mediums is to draw the distinction between response and qualified response. Between people who are responding and people who are buying, right? And so that, if you're unable to make that distinction, and then you're always going to lose to the Facebook, Google, banner ad networks of the world, always, because they can always generate more eyeballs than you can. But if you can draw that distinction and say that it's not about the click, it's about the sale, right, then you can compete with anybody, because print can compete with any medium out there in terms of the number of sales. I mean, but you have to be able to sort of take the conversation away from just traffic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, someday, you know, so that's one part of it. The other part of it is that you know, as I mentioned earlier, and I just want to say it one really quickly, you know, the content that local media organizations are producing right now is more important than ever. And I think politically with what's going on in our country, I think with coronavirus, I think with, you know, I think with many factors, I think more and more people are starting to realize how important local media and independent local, you know, local news sources really are.
You bet. And that will continue to be the case. So we're hoping, Janet, that is helpful. Let's talk about Kyla in Washington, who asks, what is the best way to use social media to reach prospects? And again, Kyla, it's very simple. LinkedIn is your go-to. It's 700 million. There's power use of LinkedIn. We've been, I was one of the first 500 on LinkedIn 15 years ago. The power use of what you're sharing, what you're showcasing, and then how you're working and weaving that into your other marketing, tied into your website, tied to your e-newsletter. And yes, there are those of you also that are working on your Facebook side, and there's lots to share related to that on that side. But that's a great question, but the go-to source would be LinkedIn and or Facebook. But then how to maximize both is really a signature part of what you want to be doing from a media perspective. Let's skip to the next one. Jeanette in New York asks the question, what are some quick closer lines to use after a brief initial sales meeting to get the advertiser to say yes faster? And, you know, it's interesting you asked that question, Jeanette. If we were selling copiers, you know, well, let's see, I hope you buy that copier today, but maybe you'll buy it tomorrow, and maybe you'll buy it next week. That's kind of it. What makes media unique is what? There is a deadline. Our magazine ships today, 4 o'clock. Are you in or not, right? So certainly the deadline, which is the reality, that is a piece. But there's another piece. Maybe there's a prime spot. Maybe there's prime placement. Maybe there's a front cover, back cover. Maybe there's a prime spot on your website or your newsletter. The element of what we call selling with scarcity, we've done entire teleseminars, Jeanette, related to that. So thank you for that question. Let's see. Karen in Texas asks, many clients feel that social media is enough advertising as more people are on it during COVID and the price is right in their mind. Jed, you want to just address that related to social media, but I just want to say the words to all of you and Karen certainly. The world of throttling is an important part of this because you can spend a whole lot of time on social media not getting near the impact as a local restaurant, a pool company, landscaper, realtor, whatever that might be. It is a real challenge on that side. You, if you've done a good job with your media path, can directly speak to that audience. If my magazine was all entirely focused on RVs, for example, I have the perfect audience. I have the perfect medium to get it in the hands of the perfect readers who are more apt to buy an RV. You could spend a whole lot of time floating around social media as an RV dealer and never get that kind of impact. Jed, you want to also comment on that?
Sure. If an advertiser, for most advertisers, and obviously there's a few exceptions, you know, I think that if especially advertisers are going after very, you know, younger demographics, you know, I think it works differently. Very, very, very inexpensive items also work well on things like Instagram and Facebook. But if you're selling what we would consider to be, you know, sort of a traditional, you know, good or service, something that requires, you know, a credit card and, you know, a reasonable purchase, there's no comparison. I mean, anyone who says that Facebook is performing well for them just hasn't tried other mediums, right? They haven't done the homework to be able to determine how many dollars it takes them to generate a sale, right? It feels really good, right, when they sit in front of their dashboard at 10 o'clock at night and say, oh, wow, this is incredible. I got, you know, 5,000 people saw my ad and, you know, and 350 of them clicked on it. But how many sales, how much revenue did it generate, and how much money did it take to generate that revenue? That's the question that you've got to flesh out with them, right? Because if you can flesh that out and you can use some of your own data, you will find that the answer almost always is that print can compete with that and beat that and beat Facebook, beat Google, beat almost any online network if, you know, as long as you have the data to prove it, right? It can't beat it in terms of total numbers, but it can beat it in terms of dollars spent versus dollars returned.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And realizing we're coming up on the top of the hour, we want to be respectful of your busy days. We're just going to give some laser spot observations about the last couple of questions. There was a whole lot more, but a couple that we had isolated. So let's see. Michael in New York, how are advertisers changing their message in response to COVID? You asked, and we talked about tone appropriate earlier, so we hope that that addresses that. If not, ping us back as a follow-up. Mark in Pennsylvania asks about how to overcome objections due to budget. That's always been a very standard objection in the three plus decades I've been in the space and sector. We've also done educational programs on that. If you need any guidance, budget has always been there with or without COVID-19. Let's see. I like this one. Stefan asked him in Massachusetts, what can we do to help businesses with new regulations of operations by getting the message out of their new procedures? We talked about that earlier, but thank you for asking that, Stephen, because it is tone appropriate that you're asking it and that we're making certain we understand what the rules and expectations are. For example, when Park City rolled out their 54-page blueprint of how we were going to open up and go from red to orange, if I were selling media in Park City, I would have printed that puppy out hard copy. I would have made notes on it. I would have reached out to Rich, the health department director, and asked questions. And then I would have gone out to my advertisers with me, you know, literally moments after that was published and been the thought leader and been out in front of that. So just a recommendation on that. And then let's see, Sherry in Tennessee, what are some of the effective practices for auto dealers during the pandemic? The most important piece that we've seen is financing and financing options, low or no money down on that side. Some other really interesting value add-ons, for example, hey, come in once a month for free car washes or car detailing or extra value in terms of repairs. We've seen those kinds of things with car dealerships on that perspective. Jed, anything else just in comment? I know I kind of rolled through these last couple. There were pages and pages, but Michael, Mark, Steven, anything else to add regarding those?
I think it's a bold new world. I think that there's lots of things that make it more difficult, but there's also opportunity there as well. You know, opportunity to both help people and, you know, and to succeed in advertising sales.
You bet. And every step of the way, we encourage you, let us know what you're seeing. Keep us posted on what trends you're observing. Tell us what whispers you're seeing. Help us understand more about hyperlocal from your perspective. These are all new jargon terms we've never used. Jed and myself are engaging in conversations like we've never seen with advertisers, with our advertising sales teams, with our publishers and publications. This is a new world, and we're right here with you every step of the way. And what we can positively tell you is what we've observed over the last 4, 8, and 12 weeks. We promise you the next 4, 8, and 12 weeks going forward will shift again. We will shift with that. We are always here with you and for you to help you spot the trends, call out the trends, listen to the whisper, find the veins of gold, and convert all of that back into what? New ad sales, revenue, and profitability. So, Jed, always a pleasure working here together. To each of you and all of you as we wrap up, make certain if you are not currently working with MediaBids, tuck into their website. You will see exactly what they do. They know they live exactly in our world. And if you, of course, would like to know about the work that we do on the Power Hour side, just come into powerhour.com. Jed, anything else in closing as we wrap up here?
No, thank you. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. You know, we wish you the best of luck. These are challenging times, but, you know, but again,